إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد. Then to continue with Al-Aqeedah Tahawiyyah, the creed compiled by Imam Abu Ja'far al-Tahawi, rahimahullah, with the explanation of Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah, then we are on the section still of Al-Qadr, pre-decree. And last week we covered the points number 89 through to point number 97. Wal-A'malu bil-Khawateem, deeds will be in accordance with their conclusions. وَالسَّعِيدُ مَنْ سَعَدَ بِقَضَاءِ اللَّهِ وَالشَّقِيُّ مَنْ شَقِيَ بِقَضَاءِ اللَّهِ. And the fortunate person, I mean the person who is a person of paradise, is the one who is fortunate by the decree of Allah. And the wretched person, I mean the person of the fire, is the one who is wretched by the decree of Allah. وَأَصْلُ الْقَدَرِ سِرُّ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى فِي خَلْقِهِ. Then there began a few points here, very closely connected. And pre-decree, Al-Qadr, is fundamentally the secret of Allah, the Most High, within His creation. لَمْ يَطَّلِعْ عَلَى ذَلِكَ مَلَكٌ مُقَرَّبٌ وَلَا نَبِيٌّ مُرْسَلٌ. Knowledge of it is not acquired by any angel drawn near, nor any prophet sent. وَالتَّعَمُّقُ وَالنَّذَرُ فِي ذَلِكَ ذَرِيعَةُ الْخِذْلَانِ وَسُلَّمُ الْحِرْمَانِ وَدَرَجَةُ الطُّغْيَانِ. And delving deeply into it and looking into that leads to frustration and disappointment, and is a ladder to being deprived, and is taking steps towards arrogance. فَالْحَذَرُ كُلَّ الْحَذَرُ مِنْ ذَلِكَ نَذَرًا وَفِكْرًا وَوَسْوَسَةً. So beware of that. Beware of looking deeply into it, thinking about it, and entertaining whispered ideas about it. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى طَوَى عِلْمَ الْقَدَرِ عَنْ أَنَامِهِ. Since Allah the Most High concealed knowledge of pre-decree from His creation. وَنَهَاهُمْ عَنْ مَرَامِهِ. And He forbade them from striving to attain it. كَمَا قَالَ تَعَالَى فِي كِتَابِهِ لَا يُسْأَلُ عَمَّا يَفْعَلُ وَهُمْ يُسْأَلُونَ. Just as He, the Most High, said in His book, the ayah 23 from Surah Al-Anbiya, the 21st surah, with the explanation, He cannot be questioned about what He does. Allah cannot be questioned about what He does, but rather they will be questioned. And with regard to the continuation this week, then it begins with point number, again on the same topic, which continues, it begins with point number 98. فَمَنْ سَأَلَ لِمَ فَعَلَ فَقَدْ رَدَّ حُكْمَ الْكِتَابِ. He said, Imam Abu Ja'far al-Tahawi, rahimahullah, said, so whoever asks, why did he do such and such, then he has rejected the judgment of the book. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, meaning that he says, why did Allah do such and such? Why did Allah decree such and such? So whoever says that, then he has rejected the judgment of the book. Because Allah says, لَا يُسْأَلُ عَمَّا يَفْعَلُ. The ayah that came last week, same ayah, Surah Al-Anbiya, the 21st surah, ayah 23, with the explanation, he cannot be asked about whatever he does. We had the point last week that Shaykh al-Fawzan makes the point, because whatever Allah does, everything that Allah does has wisdom attached to it. It's done with great wisdom. Then the author brings the next point, point number 99. وَمَنْ رَدَّ حُكْمَ الْكِتَابِ كَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ. So it's a continuation of the previous point. فَمَنْ سَأَلَ لِمَ فَعَلَ فَقَدْ رَدَّ حُكْمَ الْكِتَابِ. So whoever asks, why did he, meaning why did Allah do such and such, then he has rejected the judgment of the book. Now the point number 99, وَمَنْ رَدَّ حُكْمَ الْكِتَابِ كَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ. And whoever rejects the judgment of the book is one of the unbelievers, is one of the kafirs. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so whoever rejects the ruling of the book and the sunnah and raises objection to that, and instead he holds use of the intellect and of speculation, then he becomes one of the unbelievers. Because having iman in the book and the sunnah, these are two pillars from the pillars of iman. These are two pillars supporting iman. Having iman, truly believing in the book and the sunnah, are two supporting pillars of iman, of true faith. In a footnote, they mention, as an evidence for the point, that rejecting the book and the sunnah and raising objection to it and instead using the intellect and using speculation instead, then whoever does that is one of the unbelievers. As a footnote, they mention, so from Aisha radiallahu anha, from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he said, إِنَّ أَبْغَضَ الرِّجَالِ إِلَى اللَّهِ الْأَلَدُّ الْخَصَمُ, that the most hated of men to Allah is the one who is most quarrelsome in argumentation. Reported by al-Bukhari as hadith 2457 and by Muslim. Then At-Tahawi continues with the next point, point number 100. فَهَذَا جُمْلَةُ مَا يَحْتَاجُ إِلَيْهِ مَنْ هُوَ مُنَوَّرٌ قَلْبُهُ مِنْ أَوْلِيَاءِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. So this is, in summary, what is required by one whose heart is enlightened from the beloved servants of Allah, the Most High. So this, in summary, is what is required by one whose heart is enlightened from the beloved servants of Allah, the Most High. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, meaning what he requires with regard to the affairs of al-qadha wal-qadr, what he requires with regard to the affairs of preordainment and pre-decree. All that the author just brought already, these points, that's what you require in that regard. Then he said, so you should have iman, you should truly believe in al-qadr, in pre-decree, and in its four levels. And you should have iman, you should truly believe in all its details which occur in the book and the sunnah. And do not enter into debates and into raising objections. Rather, that you perform righteous and correct deeds and you apply the necessary means. In other words, there, Shaykh al-Fawzan has summarized for us what we need in the matter of Qadr, pre-decree, what we need to do. As he summarized it there, that we have Iman in pre-decree and in its four levels that already preceded. As we remember, the first level being Al-Ilm, knowledge that Allah knew everything that was going to be. Secondly, that Al-Kitab, that Allah wrote it all down. Thirdly, that Allah wished it, Al-Mashi'a. And fourthly, that whatever occurred, Allah created it. That's the four levels. So first we have Iman in Qadr. Then, meaning in those four levels, we understand those four levels. And we have Iman in whatever details are mentioned about pre-decree in the book and the Sunnah. And then that we don't enter into debates and into raising objections. And then finally, action. That we perform righteous and correct actions. And we apply the necessary means. We don't just say that if it's decreed it's going to happen, so we won't act. No, rather we do act. We perform righteous actions and do whatever is necessary. So that's the summary of what a person requires with regard to pre-decree. And the next point, point number 101, وَهِيَ دَرَجَةُ الرَّاسِخِينَ فِي الْعِلْمِ, and it is the level of those firmly grounded in knowledge. الرَّاسِخِينَ, and it is the level of those firmly grounded in knowledge. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, الرَّاسِخُونَ, obviously, there's a mention of them near the start of Surah Ali Imran, the rasikhun fil ilm, those who are firmly grounded in knowledge. So Shaykh al-Fawzan said, al-rasikhun, those firmly grounded, he said, meaning, al-thabitina fil ilm, those who are firm in ilm, in knowledge. Those who have knowledge which is firmly grounded, they do not have doubts, nor ignorance. وَلَيْسَ عِنْدَهُمْ شُكُوكُ وَلَا جَهْلُ, they don't have doubts and they don't have ignorance. So they have Iman in preordainment and pre-decree. And they perform the righteous and correct deeds. And they leave off performing evil deeds. And they don't seek to interfere with any of Allah's secrets, nor to debate with Him, nor to raise objections to Him. This is the affair of those firmly grounded in knowledge. And he mentions the case of the opposite people, people who are opposite to this. He said, وَأَمَّا الْجُهَّالِ, and as for the ignorant people, then they enter into affairs of misguidance and affairs which they have innovated. Then for the next point, Al-Tahawi, As-salamu alayhi wa rahmatullah. Having just mentioned the point of those firmly grounded in knowledge, what their approach is with regard to Qadr, pre-decree, and he says, لِأَنَّ الْعِلْمَ عِلْمَانِ, عِلْمٌ فِي الْخَلْقِ مَوْجُودٌ وَعِلْمٌ فِي الْخَلْقِ مَفْقُودٌ. He said, because knowledge, al-ilm, is of two kinds. A knowledge which is present within the creation, and a knowledge which is absent from the creation. So there he divides knowledge into two categories, that which is present within the creation and that which is not present, that which is absent from the creation. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, knowledge is of two kinds. A knowledge which Allah kept hidden with Himself, so no one has knowledge of it except for Him, He, the Perfect and Most High. And that is ilmul ghaib, that is, knowledge of the hidden and unseen. That knowledge, which is not present in the creation, which is only with Allah, only He has that knowledge, is called ilmul ghayb, knowledge of the hidden and the unseen. Then he mentions the second category of knowledge, and knowledge which is present within the creation, which Allah has taught to them. And this is what there is benefit for them in. And this comes about by that which Allah sent down from the book, and what He sent the messengers with. What he sent the messenger with. And he quotes an ayah, وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah, ayah 129. A description of the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with the meaning, he teaches them the book and the hikmah. He teaches them the book and the sunnah. The book and the wisdom. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan goes on to explain these two words that he teaches them, al-kitab, al-hikmah. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, al-kitab, the book, is the Qur'an. And the hikmah is the sunnah. Meaning that the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, teaches the people the Qur'an. The first al-kitab means the Qur'an. And he teaches them the hikmah, he said, mean the sunnah. Teaches them the sunnah. And he said, وَقِيلَ And it's also said that it means, meaning al-hikmah, also means al-fiqhu fi deen Allahi. That hikmah means he teaches them the book, and the hikmah means he teaches them the book, the Qur'an, and the hikmah meaning understanding of the religion of Allah. That's the second explanation of what the word hikmah means. That it means fiqh fi deenillah, understanding of the religion of Allah. And as for these two sayings, then this is an extra point. As for the first explanation that the hikmah means the sunnah, then this was stated with authentic chain narration. At-Tabari brings it from, as a saying of Qatada from the Tabi'een. He explained this ayah, the word al-hikmah, to mean the sunnah. And as for the second meaning that he gives, that al-hikmah means understanding of the religion, then this was stated by Imam Malik. Again, At-Tabari brings it from the saying of Imam Malik and from Ibn Zayd as well. And again, an extra point. Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir said in his tafsir, with regard to this ayah, وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ And he teaches them, the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, teaches them the book and the hikmah. Ibn Kathir said, al-hikmah, meaning the sunnah. It was stated by al-Hasan, meaning al-Hasan al-Basri, and Qatada, and Maqatil ibn Hayyan, and Abu Malik, and others. Or it is also said that it means al-fahm fi al-deen, understanding of the religion. That he taught them the book and taught them al-hikmah, meaning understanding of the religion. Then he said, and there is no contradiction between the two. There's no contradiction between these two sayings. I mean, these two sayings are in harmony with each other. Obviously, the sunnah explains the book of Allah, and that's why understanding of the religion of Allah obviously comes about through the book and understanding of the book. As for Shaykh bin Baz, rahimahullah, then he made a point here in this regard, and he said, with regard to the saying of At-Tahawi in the heading, لِأَنَّ الْعِلْمَ عِلْمَانِ عِلْمٌ فِي الْخَلْقِ مَوْجُودٌ وَعِلْمٌ فِي الْخَلْقِ مَفْقُودٌ Because knowledge is of two kinds. Knowledge which is present within the creation, and knowledge which is absent from the creation. Shaykh bin Baz, rahimahullah, he said, What he means, rahimahullah, by knowledge which is absent is ilmul ghaib, is knowledge of the hidden and unseen. And that is particular to Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. Only Allah knows that knowledge. And whoever from the people claims to have it, then he is an unbeliever. He's become an unbeliever. Kafara. Because of the saying of Allah, the one free of all imperfections, وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّا هُ. Surah Al-An'am, the 6th surah, ayah 59. With the explanation that with him are the keys of the hidden and unseen. No one knows them except him, except Allah. And he quotes a second ayah. قُلْ لَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ الْغَيْبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ Surah An-Naml, the 27th surah, ayah 65. With the explanation, say, no one in the heavens or the earth knows the ghayb, knows the hidden and unseen, illallah, except Allah. Then he gives an evidence from the sunnah. He said, and the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, said, مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ خَمْسٌ لَا يَعْلَمُهُنَّ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. He said, the keys to the hidden and unseen are five things. No one knows them except Allah. And then he recited, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited the saying of Allah the Perfect, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ السَّاعَةِ وَيُنَزِّلُ الْغَيْثِ. The ayahs to the end of the ayah. Surah Luqman, the 31st surah, ayah 34, with the rest of the ayah. With the explanation, Allah has the knowledge of the last hour, and he sends down the rain. And the ayah continues. Then Sheikh bin Baz, and in the ayah, just a side point, in the ayah, five things are mentioned, just as the Prophet ﷺ indicated in the hadith. The keys to the hidden and unseen are five. No one knows them except Allah. Then the Prophet ﷺ recited this ayah, Surah Luqman, ayah 34, and the ayah mentions five things. The knowledge of the last hour. Secondly, the sending down of the rain. Thirdly, that which is in the wombs. And as a point here, a nice point that Sheikh Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, he made the point that it doesn't just mean what is in the wombs with regard to, is it a male or is it a female? The term ma fil arham, it covers more than that. He said, so the fact that some doctors these days, they can do a scan of the mother, for example, and find out that the child is a male child, or they can do a scan and say, look, it's a female child. He said, this doesn't take away from what's been mentioned here, that is from the hidden and unseen. He says, because the Arabic used is ma, he knows what is in the wombs. He said, meaning, Allah knows what type of person that is in the womb, what type of person he will be, what type of provision, what will happen to him in the world, what provision will come to him, where he will die, and so on. I mean, all of that is covered by the term ma fil arham, what is in the wombs. And that is something that no one can find out. Again, that's a side point to this point. So the third thing mentioned in the ayah was what is contained in the wombs. And the fourth thing mentioned in the ayah was that which you will earn tomorrow. That which a person will earn tomorrow on the next day. And fifthly, in which land you will die. These are five things which are the keys to the hidden and unseen. So then Sheikh bin Baz, rahimahullah, he said, and the ahadith, which are authentic, are many, which occur in this regard, showing that the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, himself did not know the ghaib, he did not know the hidden and unseen. Even though he was the most excellent one from the creation, and he was the noblest of the messengers. So anyone else besides him, then even more so, they don't know the hidden and unseen. He said, and he, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, did not know from that except that which Allah the Perfect taught to him. And then he gives some examples showing that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't have knowledge of the hidden and unseen. He said, when the people of the false doubt and the slander against Aisha radiallahu anha, when they spoke against her, he did not know for certain of her innocence until the revelation came down. Now he gives a second example. And he said, and when her necklace, meaning the same story, the same incident, when her necklace became lost on a journey, then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, he sent a party of riders out to search for it, and he did not know its place. He didn't know where it was until they made the camel get up, stand up, and then they found it underneath the camel. And the evidences from the book and the sunnah in this regard are many, and all praise is for Allah. I mean, there are many, many examples showing that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't know the hidden and unseen. Then back to the main text. And actually we missed at the end of the Sheikh al-Fawzan's explanation, he actually carried on slightly. After he said, he quoted the ayah from Surah al-Baqarah, ayah 129, وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابُ وَالْحِكْمَةِ, and he teaches them the book and the hikmah, the sunnah, or understanding of the religion. Sheikh al-Fawzan said, al-kitab, the book, is the Qur'an, and the hikmah is the sunnah, or it is said, understanding of the religion of Allah. Then he said, so Allah taught us, and the Messenger taught us. And he quotes a further ayah, وَيُعَلِّمُكُمْ مَا لَمْ تَكُونُوا تَعْلَمُونَ, Surah Al-Baqarah, the second surah, ayah 151. So Allah teaches us, Allah taught us, and the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, taught us. Then he quotes the ayah, Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah 151, with the explanation, and he teaches you that which you did not know. Then with regard to the next point, as we said, all these points being connected, point number 103, فَإِنْكَارُ الْعِلْمِ الْمَوْجُودِ كُفْرٌ وَالدِّعَاءُ الْعِلْمِ الْمَفْقُودِ كُفْرٌ. Al-Tahawi, rahimahullah, said, so denying the knowledge which is present is unbelief, kufr. And claiming to have the knowledge which is absent is kufr, is unbelief. Claiming to have, or they said, denying the knowledge which is present is unbelief, and claiming to have the knowledge which is not present, which is absent, is unbelief. Sheikh al-Fawzan said, so denying the knowledge contained in the legislation. Obviously, first of all, he explains what is the knowledge that's present, which if it's denied, is unbelief. He said, so denying the knowledge contained in the legislation, in the Islamic legislation, and what it contains with regard to commands and prohibitions, and the reports about the past and the future, denying this is kufr, is unbelief. In other words, the knowledge contained in the book and the sunnah, the knowledge contained in the revelation, in the book and the sunnah, And he mentioned the meaning, the commands contained in it and the prohibitions contained in it. And the reports about the past in it and the reports about the future in it. Denying it is unbelief, kufr. And he said, with regard to the knowledge which is not present, he said, and claiming to have ilmul ghaib, claiming to have knowledge of the hidden and unseen, is kufr, is unbelief. And he quotes the ayah, قُلْ لَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ الْغَيْبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ Surah An-Naml, ayah 27, Surah 27, ayah 65, same ayah we had before. With the explanation, say, no one in the heavens or the earth knows the hidden and unseen except Allah. Then he said, and the one most complete from the creation, alayhi salatu wassalam, in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, وَلَوْ كُنْتُ أَعْلَمُ الْغَيْبَ لَاسْتَكْثَرْتُ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ Surah Al-A'raf, the 7th surah, ayah 188. He himself said, as is mentioned in the ayah, if I knew the hidden and unseen, I could have amassed a great deal of good, if I had known it. The Shaykh said, so the Prophet, alayhi salatu wassalam, does not know the hidden and unseen, except for what Allah taught him. Except for what Allah taught him. And he quotes the ayah, وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنْ عِلْمِهِ إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءَ Surah Al-Baqarah, the 2nd surah, ayah 255, a part of Ayatul Kursi, with the explanation, and they do not know, they the people do not know anything from his knowledge, from Allah's knowledge, except that which he wished to teach them. And with regard to the next point, point number 104, then Al-Tahawi continues, وَلَا يَثْبُتُ الْإِيمَانُ إِلَّا بِقَبُولِ الْعِلْمِ الْمَوْجُودِ وَتَرْكِ طَلَبِ الْعِلْمِ الْمَفْقُودِ He said, and Iman, true faith, is not established except through acceptance of the knowledge which is present and leaving aside seeking the knowledge which is absent. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, Iman, true faith, will not be established except by accepting the knowledge which is present, and that is the knowledge of the book and the sunnah, and by leaving aside the ilmul ghaib, knowledge of the hidden and unseen, leaving that to Allah. And he quotes the ayah, فَقُلْ إِنَّمَا الْغَيْبُ لِلَّهِ Surah Yunus, the 10th surah, ayah 20, with the explanation, then say, the hidden and unseen is for Allah. Then what we'll take as the final point today, inshallah, point number 105, even though the points do continue after this, but we'll break it here after this point, inshallah. Point number 105. وَنُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّوْحِ وَالْقَلَمِ وَبِجَمِيعِ مَا فِيهِ قَدْ رُقِمَ He said, and we have iman in the lawh, in the preserved tablet, and the qalam, and the pen, and in everything which has been inscribed in it. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, this follows on from what preceded, from the speech about preordainment and pre-decree. And it has already proceeded that the levels of Iman, of true faith, in preordainment and pre-decree, or rather he said, and it's already proceeded that from the levels of having Iman in preordainment and pre-decree is, from these levels is, I mean the second level, is having Iman, having true faith, in whatever he wrote in Allah al-Mahfuz, in the preserved tablet, the inscribed and preserved tablet. And that is that Allah created the creation. And the first thing that he created was the pen, the qalam. And he said to it, uktub, write. So it replied, ma aktub, what shall I write? So he said, uktub, ma huwa ka'inun ila yawm al-qiyamah. Allah said to the pen, write whatever will happen until the day of resurrection. Or write whatever is going to happen until the day of resurrection. The Sheikh said, so the pen wrote down by the command of Allah for it to write down whatever was going to happen until the day of resurrection, as occurs in the hadith. In a footnote they mention, this is a hadith reported by Abu Dawood and At-Tirmidhi and Abu Ya'la from the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it's also reported by Al-Bayhaqi as a statement of the companion, which carries the ruling of being from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as for this hadith, then it was declared sahih, authentic, by Shaykh Al-Albani, rahimahullah. So now discussion is moving into the second matter from the four levels of pre-decree with regard to the pen and the writing. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, Ya rahmakallah, and no one knows how the preserved tablet is, Allah, no one knows how the preserved tablet is and how the pen is, except Allah. And they are two created things from the things which Allah the Mighty and Majestic has created. We have Iman in that. And so therefore the author said, نُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّوْحِ وَالْقَلَمِ وَبِمَا فِيهِ قَدْ رُقِمَ. We have Iman, we have true faith in the preserved tablet, the preserved record, and in the pen, and in whatever has been ascribed, or rather whatever has been inscribed in it. The Sheikh said, meaning اللَّوْح الْمَحْفُوظ, the preserved tablet, and the writing that is in it. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, and this is the second level from the levels of Iman in preordainment and pre-decree. And it is Iman in the writing in the preserved tablet. Then in this regard, we'll finish with just two notes. First of them, by Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdulaziz ibn Mani', he made a note on this point with regard to the point, وَنُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّوْحِ. We have Iman in the preserved tablet. He said, Allah the Most High said, بَلْ هُوَ قُرْآنٌ مَجِيدٌ فِي لَوْحٍ مَحْفُوظٍ. The ayahs from Surah Al-Buruj. بَلْ هُوَ قُرْآنٌ مَجِيدٌ فِي لَوْحٍ مَحْفُوظٍ. With the explanation, indeed, it is a praiseworthy Qur'an contained in the preserved tablet. Sheikh ibn Mani said, so the Qur'an, the noble Qur'an, is written down in the preserved tablet, just as Allah the Perfect mentioned. And Jibreel alayhi salam heard it from Allah and conveyed it to our Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wassalam. So it was sent down from your Lord in truth. And he did not say from the preserved tablet. So this is a point here that some people misunderstand sometimes. A point that Shaykh Ibn Mani, rahimahullah, he clarifies here. That indeed this ayah shows that the Quran is written within the preserved tablet. So we believe that. But as for the descent of the Quran, then Jibreel heard it from Allah. Allah spoke with the Quran, Jibreel heard it, and Jibreel brought it down to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is two separate things that we shouldn't mix together. Then Shaykh Ibn Mani, rahimahullah, he said, and there is no, clarifying this point, there is no contradiction between its being in the preserved tablet and in between its being sent down from Allah, as was clarified by Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah. And Shaykh al-Islam said also that the preserved tablet is above the heavens. And there occurs in a hadith that no one looks into it except Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. I say, so this shows the misguidance of those who state that the soul of a person can see what is contained in the preserved tablet. This is just a statement from the philosophers and from the people of superstitious stories, from the worshippers, whether righteous or unrighteous, as is their firm belief. So beware of it, because it is a lie. I mean, the idea that some of the people, some of the righteous people or non-righteous people, they can look into the preserved tablet and see what's contained therein. Then he moves on and says, with regard to the phrase, wal qalam, we have iman in the qalam, in the pen, he said, as for the pen which is mentioned, then it is what Allah created. And it wrote the measure of everything in the preserved tablet, just as occurs in the hadith of Ubadah ibn al-Samit, reported by Abu Dawood from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he said, أول ما خلق الله القلم فقال له اكتب قال ربي وما اكتب قال اكتب مقادير كل شيء حتى تقوم الساعة. The hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he said, the first thing that Allah created was the pen. And he said to it, write. So it said, O my Lord, and what shall I write? He said, write down the decreed measure of everything, write until the hour is established. Then Shaykh Ibn Mani said, and the scholars disagree. Was the pen the very first thing that was created? Or was it the arsh? Was it Allah's throne? They have two sayings in that regard. Ibn al-Qayyim mentions both of them in his Nuniyah, and he preferred the view that the pen was created after the arsh, after the throne. And he quotes some lines of the poem from the Nuniyah in that regard. Then as for a final point, then as for Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah, then he said on this point about the preserved tablet and the pen, he said, I say, with regard to the preserved tablet, it is what is mentioned in the saying of Allah the Most High, بَلْ هُوَ قُرْآنٌ مَجِيدٌ فِي لَوْحٍ مَحْفُوظٍ. Surah Al-Buruj, as the brother mentioned, Ayah 22. With the explanation, rather, or indeed, it is a praiseworthy Qur'an contained in a preserved tablet. Shaykh al-Albani said, and that is from the ghaib, that is from the hidden and unseen, which it is obligatory that we have iman in it. It's obligatory that we truly believe in it. And its reality, how it exactly is, its true reality, is not known except to Allah. And then he makes the same point that Shaykh Ibn Mani made. He said, and the belief that some righteous people can look into what's contained in it, this idea that some righteous people can peep into the preserved tablet, this belief is kufr. This belief is unbelief in the ayahs and the ahadith, which clearly state that no one knows the ghaib, no one knows the hidden and unseen, except Allah, the Most High. And then finally, with regard to the point about which was created first, the pen or the throne, the arsh, then Sheikh al-Albani, rahimahullah, he said, the author, or rather he said the explainer, I mean Ibn Abil Izz, in his explanation of At-Tahawiyyah, he said, he explained here that the scholars differed whether the pen was the very first thing created or the throne, the arsh, rahmatullah. And the scholars had two sayings in that regard. There is no third saying. In some of the scholars of the Sunnah, they said Allah's throne was first and then the pen was created. And some say the other way around, rather pen was created and then after that Allah's throne was created. And there's no third saying. Sheikh Albani said, and in my view, the most preferable one is the first. I mean that the pen was the very first thing created. As is clearly stated in my note, and he gives a note that he made to At-Tahawiyyah. Then he said, and I say now, whether what is most correct is this or that, then this difference shows, by what we understand from it, that the scholars are agreed that there was a first created thing. And the idea that things created things came into creation and there was always something before it, they are contrary to this agreement. This is a view of some people held. Every created thing, it must have had something created before it. Back and back and back. He said this is contrary to what the scholars agreed upon here. Because all the scholars agreed that one of these two things was created first and there was nothing created before it. So that is a refutation of that idea. Walhamdulillah wa sallallahu ala Muhammad. So we'll continue next time, inshallah, from point 106. Any points of clarification? No, he doesn't. Allahu a'lam. As if, I mean, it can be understood from the general evidences that no one knows the hidden and unseen except Allah, and that the preserved tablet is part of that. So that is, is known to only Allah. But as for the Sheikh Ibn Mani, he said there is a hadith which mentions that only Allah looks into the preserved tablet. He doesn't quote a reference for it. So Allahu a'lam where the hadith is. With regard to those who say that the throne, the arsh, was created before the pen, and they explain the hadith about the pen to say that this hadith here is talking with regard to the writing down of what's going to happen. Obviously the pen was created first and then all the things were written down. But they say, but it doesn't directly show that the arsh was not already there. And in fact they bring some narrations which they say it doesn't clearly state that, basically. And then they use a hadith in Bukhari, that some people came asking the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam about the start of the affair. I mean, the start of the creation. So the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, كان الله ولم يكن شيء غيره وكان عرشه على الماء وكتب في الذكر كل شيء. So they use this as an evidence, the hadith that occurs in Bukhari and elsewhere, the authentic hadith, that the people came and asked the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam about the beginning of this affair, meaning the beginning of the creation of the things. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah was, and there was nothing else besides him. وَكَانَ عَرْشُهُ عَلَى الْمَاء, and his throne was upon the water. And he wrote everything that was going to be in the preserved tablet. So they say from the like of that hadith, we understand that the arsh was before the pen, and that the pen being the first thing, is mean with regard to what came afterwards. Wallahu a'lam. And as for those who say the pen, the qalam was the first created thing, then the hadith that we heard. أَوَّلُ مَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ الْقَلَمُ, the first thing that Allah created was the pen. This is a very clear statement that the pen was first created. The hadith directly states, the first thing that Allah created was the pen. Wallahu a'lam. And as Shaykh Albani put it, rahmahullah, that either case, the scholars are agreed that it was one of these two. One of these two was first. I mean, some scholars say the pen was first, some scholars say the throne was first, but the throne was first, the arsh. But that's another way of stating that the scholars are agreed that it was one of these two that was first, and the other one was the second thing. Wallahu a'lam. As for the levels of Iman in Qadr, the levels that the Shaykh mentioned here, then there are four levels. As we heard last time, some of the scholars divide these four into two levels. So they put the first two together and they put the second two together. So the first level being the knowledge, al-ilm, that Allah knew whatever was going to happen and whatever was not going to happen and so on. And the second level being al-kitabah, that Allah wrote that down. They put these two levels together. So that's the first level of some of the, when the scholars say there's two levels of that need to be, they put those two together and say the knowledge and the writing down. And then the third and fourth level, Allah's wishing whatever was going to occur, and He's actually creating it. They put those two together. And so the third and fourth, that is the next level. Like Al-Hafidh ibn Rajab, as we had last time, he categorized, put those, the first two together and the second two together. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.